Time now for the five big questions on a Tuesday on Mad Radio. We start at the beginning with...
Numero uno.
Evan Gattis right now is projected to hit 31 home runs this season. I'm guessing he's not going to get quite up to that total, but we shall see. Right now, he's got 14 homers. Let's do a quick put it in the back book. Jones, you'll be responsible for taking care of this. Gattis has hit 32 home runs, though, 2 years ago. How many home runs will Evan Gattis finish with this season?
Look, not to just pray to the Fangraphs God, but Fangraphs hasn't projected his 21 home runs. I think at least part of that is because of total games played so far the way they projected out. So I think it's going to be higher than 21, but I also don't think he's going to continue on this ridiculous tear that he's been on the last month. So I'll say 29.
I believe in forearm power. I say he gets 33.
All right, 33. I'm going to go with 27. So I think he'll continue on a decent
Evan Gattis.
Pace.
Wow. You tried to get him cut from the Astros earlier this year, and now you're just underestimating the man who has the greatest forearms in America.
Five big questions.
Yeah, just move on from it.
Who is the best general manager in the city of Houston? Brian Gain hasn't really done much. He's been fine this offseason. We'll obviously see how it plays out, but this is really a Jeff Luna who got the extension, Daryl Morey question. I think the answer is probably Jeff because he's got the championship in the ring. But I will say this, but what Daryl Morey did to build this team, which is basically from scratch, is, in my opinion, one of the best jobs any NBA GM has done in probably, 20, 30 years.
I think that you're confusing most accomplished with best GM. And I think that if you're going to look at process, I think that Morey's had to do it in a much harder fashion. He's never tanked. And Luno, I don't mean to discredit anything, but I'm also not going to be one of these people that are like in denial about the Astros tanking. They tanked and they tanked hard. And then Luno did a good job of reaping the benefits of it. I think if Daryl Morey had been allowed to tank at some point over the last however many years, I think he'd have a few more pelts on the wall.
I feel the same way. Daryl Morey went about it the noble way. And here he has come to a team that is damn close to getting to an NBA Finals. I'm still pissed off about Chris Paul and his hamstring. My hamstring brother, Chris Paul. It is not fun to have a busted hamstring.
Daryl, unlike a lot of these frauds in the NBA, made a big run at the Golden State Warriors. He told Ryan Russillo back in December or November, hey, we think about the Warriors all the time, and people criticize him for that, which is stupid. But they made an actual run. They didn't rebuild or do whatever. They didn't like say, yeah, we're going to wait out the Warriors. They took dead aim at the Warriors, and they came pretty close to getting it done.
Now that I've had a couple of weeks to sort of process this, it is beyond frustrating that now the narrative going into this offseason is, oh, well, the Rockets never really had a chance. Like, that pisses me off so much. I understand that Chris Paul gets hurt in the playoffs a lot, but I'm hearing so much of that nationally. I'm like, come on. They were up 3-2. They were playing better than Golden State for the majority of Game 6 and Game 7, I felt like, and people are just acting like all of a sudden that, yeah, they never had a chance against the Warriors. Get the hell out of here with that.
By the same token, it's interesting. I think we probably don't give the Warriors enough credit for the scrappiness it took to get past Oklahoma City before they won the championship. And like that they have Durant, you kind of forget that pre-Durant, there was a reason that you loved that team or that people loved that team, where now, like post-Durant, you just can't help but despise them.
Can't stand them.
Yeah. I hated them for their moving screens, but I respected them. Now I don't respect them.
Numero tres.
Will Jadeveon Clowney and the Texans agree on a new deal before week one against the New England Patriots? McClain opines that it will not get done. Florio's taking it as if it's a report.
That was a report. Pro Football Talk. I don't think it was Florio to give Florio a little bit of a buffer zone. It was one of those other Pro Football Talk writers. But report, John McClain, who basically said, yeah, I'm not really 100% sure. Like, I'm paraphrasing right here. That would be a very sloppily written
article.
Well,
he used the
word
I think.
Right, I think.
Like, it wasn't a report. He said, I think. Yeah.
Where have we come to?
I'm gonna say yes. My confidence level is about 70% right in that window, because I do think that there is a zone of around 45 to like 58 million guaranteed. I know that's kind of a wide range, but you guys get the idea. That would be one where the Texans would be willing to do it, and for Clowney it would be hard to turn down. So if he comes back healthy for training camp, which I expect, I think that he will get a deal done.
I'm trying to figure out, a lot of this depends on whether the Raiders and the Rams both kind of anchor down and refuse to go high with those two young players that they have have. I think the Raiders have to pay Khalil Mack because they want to compete, and they want to compete now. I think the Rams have to pay Aaron Donald because they've brought in all these guys that aren't just imports, but that are imports who are character risks, and they've paid them big money, or they will pay them big money. Like, they've brought a lot of guys into the team, like Marcus Peters. They brought in Aqib Talib. Like, they bring in all these guys, and the one guy that's been a rock for you, you haven't paid yet. I think they have to do that. Once those two dominoes fall, then I think Clowney gets paid. So I think Clowney gets paid before September.
I do too. I think it's going to happen in August. I think that McClain's opining. I can understand why, but I think that once Clowney's back in training camp, I think that everyone's going to feel very fine about Clowney being able to get through this year.
The five big questions on a Tuesday.
Number four.
This is spurred by Jeremy Branham on Saturday, and some people did not like this question, but I'm intrigued by it. I don't know if Seth will be. Who would you take? Chris Paul on a Supermax contract, 5 years, $200 million, or Lonzo Ball? Who would you take? Chris Paul, $200 million, or Lonzo Ball?
Chris Paul's got to take that, a five-year Supermax, which you will be unable to unload 2 years now when Chris Paul... there's a chance plays like 20 games in a season.
Totally fine with that. I don't want to deal. No LeVar.
Oh,
no Lonzo.
Okay. You know what? I completely forgot about LeVar. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to
deal
with LeVar.
Well, how could you?
Because
it would be fun for
a month. Because ever since LeBron going to L.A. became a distinct possibility, he's quieted down. He's
popped up like recently. He popped up a week ago.
He was in a music video.
It was regarding Lithuania, for one. So like,
it was regarding
like the treatment of his sons in Lithuania. So I don't know. Is that called a Faustian bargain where you're dealing with the devil?
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Is it fair to call LeVar Ball the devil? I say yes. I'm not willing to make that deal. I can't stomach that.
I'm not Lonzo Ball's that good either.
I think he is pretty good, and I'm not 100% sure they can fix his shot, but from an overall scoring, rebounding, assist standpoint, he's such a unique player, and he's big. I like him, but Chris Paul still gives me a chance to knock off Golden State, so I'm going to go with Chris Paul.
Very selfishly, I trust our ability to figure out a way to get a weekly show with LeVar Ball. And as much as people will despise us and say all kinds of things about 6'10 for it, it will be ratings gold.
Yes.
I'm going to say I take Lonzo Ball simply for I feel like we could get the LeVar Ball show on this station.
And all of
you out there that are saying you would hate it would tune in and listen every single week.
I would get fired. I would be replaced.
How?
You'd fight him?
I would be replaced by LeVar Ball. Like, you know how it would slowly work?
He's got too many other things going on. He doesn't want to sit down here in a studio every day. He's got other interests going on.
Number five.
This is a very random question. Have you guys noticed, you can't help but notice how much the Texans are talking about their new strength and conditioning coach and the new diet and the new food they have at NRG. Whitney Merciless was in studio with In the Loop, and he talked about how the food was so much different. What the hell are the people who were doing this last year thinking, like Craig Fitzgerald, the strength coach, whoever was doing food for the Texans? They are being pilloried quietly every single week.
And this is what I would say, and it's bothering me a little bit, because I'll hear the guys talk about this. The biggest thing is that the Texans ponied up more money this year.
Okay.
There have been various people in those positions in the past that wanted to do certain things that they weren't allowed to do them or couldn't do it because there wasn't the budget for it.
Which to me is crazy because of how much you're paying the players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but that's always the feeling. And it's so easy to... I used to be that way too, because you're like, hey, you're paying these guys $5, $6 million a year, but you're getting cheap on food or what have you. I don't know. There's something to be said for the fact that you are running a business and you don't want to be spending way more than other teams. I personally, as an owner, I think would be wanting the state of the art everything. Find every little edge. But they've committed more resources to it this year, as I understand.
Was there a correlation, and this is off topic, between the press box food and the food that the Texans were getting?
Let's hope not.
Because if there was, good God, even though it was
McClain
free.
Would kill
us
for this.
That's not the food. The food that they're eating. No.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure that's clear.
No.
So we always, every now and then, and I know this is classic media bitching about what you get at halftime, but there were a couple of games, like, it felt like when the Texans had mailed it in on the field, there was like a couple of games where they were like, all right, here's a bunch of nachos for your dinner. Like, just nachos
by the way,
and bean dip.
And if people are like listening, they're like, what's wrong with these guys? Let me tell you real quick. I'd be willing to pay for food at every game I would go to, and I am very easily satisfied. You give me a turkey sandwich, and I am completely fine, just to let you know. All right.
That's all I need too.